From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made 24 hours ago when Governor Andrew Cuomo announced that parts of Monroe County would enter the Orange Zone designation. That designation is part of the state's microcluster strategy to try to curb transmission of COVID-19. The designation comes with new restrictions that go into effect on Wednesday. Some of them include the following: the closure of non-essential businesses like personal care salons, barbershops, and gyms. Restaurants will be closed to in-person dining. Outdoor dining, delivery, and takeout are allowed. So indoor, closed. Houses of worship will have to limit capacity to 33% or 25 people, whichever is fewer. And beginning on Thursday, schools closing to in-person learning will stay closed until they meet some testing requirements. Everyone in the building would have to be coming in with a negative test, and then there's going to have to be 25% weekly testing instead of 20 for the student population in those schools. The designation has led to some confusion and frustration, especially among businesses within the new Orange Zone. Greater Rochester Chamber of Commerce President Bob Duffy told WXXI News yesterday that the move will be a big economic hit on the small businesses that previously had to close in the spring. This hour, our guests will help us understand the new restrictions and the impact they have on communities. And if you're wondering why the lines are drawn the way they are, et cetera, we'll try to answer as much as we possibly can. Let me welcome our guest. Bob Duffy is the Finger Lakes Reopening Advisor to Governor Cuomo, President and CEO of the Greater Rochester Chamber of Commerce. Bob, welcome back to the program.
Evan, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Two town supervisors, Dave Seeley from the town of Irondequoit with us, which has a part of Irondequoit in this orange designation. Dave, welcome back to the program.
Good to be here, Evan.
Bill Maley from the town of Brighton with the same situation. Bill, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Evan. Always happy to be here.
And Willie Lightfoot is the president of the United Professional Barbers and Cosmetologists Association and the vice president of Rochester City Council. Willie, welcome back to the program to you.
Blessings to all. Thank you, Evan.
Bob, any surprises with the orange zone here? I mean, I know several days ago you said that if we worked hard, we could maybe avoid this, hold this off for a bit. Any surprises for you yesterday?
Well, we hope to avoid it, Evan, and quite frankly, I think the governor gave us the benefit of the doubt for a few days. We saw the infection rates going up. A lot of us were on calls two, three times a week on these issues. And, you know, our mantra has been, from the start, wear a mask, stay 6 feet apart, wash your hands, disinfect surfaces, follow the guidelines. And the spreading events that have come to our attention really are not so much at the businesses that were identified yesterday, but there are parties, there are gatherings, sometimes in bars. It could be a Halloween party, birthday party, anniversary party, sometimes in house of worship where people are in close proximity or inside. It's warm, heated now, it's cold outside. I think that we just are hammering away at those guidelines. And, you know, the bottom line is the rates kept going up. And I think we've done very, very well since the start, but we have to drive those back. And we have a 2-week window right now to hopefully reverse the infection rates and get out of orange, back in the yellow, and hopefully eventually out of yellow.
Well, and what I want to talk to you about, Bob, because your time is more limited than the other guests, I want to talk to you about whether you think what we're seeing is the appropriate level of closure or the right kinds of closures, because I know that ultimately it's not your call, but you do have the governor's ear in some ways. You know, for example, we'll talk to Willie later this hour about his business and his industry. Everything that I've seen finds at salons where you get your hair cut, where different services like that are provided, are not places where spread is happening because of the extreme care, the masking, the limited number of customers, people in and out, et cetera. Same with schools. Dr. Mendoza on this program said we just don't have evidence that schools are where this stuff is spreading. So if we are going to have to go back into orange, I get bars and restaurants, though I have a whole separate complaint about the fact that the federal government has utterly failed to provide continuing relief to an industry that almost obviously was going to have to close again. That's maybe a separate conversation, Bob. But why is New York State saying to people like Willie Lightfoot and his colleagues, why is the state saying to schools, you have to close now, when the evidence doesn't seem to go in that direction?
Evan, I won't disagree with the businesses, and I was kidding with somebody yesterday. I got a haircut recently in Supervisor Malley's town, and I probably could get into the White House easier than this place, because by the time you are called into the location, your temperature is taken, everybody's masked up, shields on. They've done a great job investing heavily in protection. My sense, and I've not spoken to the governor personally, my sense is that they have an array of experts, both statewide and nationally, looking at the data. And they pour over the data every day. And I don't think the governor's ever said that it's these locations are the spreaders, but looking at places that maybe people would go and gather, and maybe that those places that really weren't the most essential. Now, I could say that, but then I think we all feel for those businesses which have taken a hit over several months, just now coming back, just trying to get their feet above water and hopefully stay above the water economically, and this happens. And so I get both sides very, very well. What we do is provide feedback to the governor's team consistently on the impact. That's something that I go back to my time as lieutenant governor. My job was really to be the eyes and ears for the governor upstate and to report back to him constantly things I saw, things that I came across to make sure that he had a better understanding of what was happening. And our control room here, and I think the control rooms around upstate will say the same thing. But I was not part of the decision-making process. None of us here locally are. This really comes from their cadre of experts on this. But, you know, in all honesty, Evan, we get both sides. And I think the governor is trying to do his best to drive these rates down. I think we're the fourth lowest in the country right now in terms of infection rates. So the things he has done have been extraordinarily successful. And we understand the pain that's going on right now. And I would say this, it's the businesses, I would say, just hang in there. Hopefully this will end within 2 weeks or so. Let's keep doing our job. But those who flaunt this, right, this is a point that just is eternally frustrating to me. The people that are protesting masks, the people that say, no, I'll go out, I'll have my party. The governor can't tell me who to have for Thanksgiving. I'll have 40 people over. I'll go to this party or that party, and we don't care. I think those people should share a lot of the responsibility for these infection rates because that's where it's happening. And I look at the impact that frontline people are having. While some frontline healthcare professionals might contract it, for the most part, they're usually safe. They're exposed to this stuff every single day. Often it's careless behaviors that are coming up that are really adding to the infection rates. And people just have to be vigilant. This is nothing to play with. I have an old colleague of mine that contracted it at a bar out in a suburban town, and he texted me recently saying this is the worst thing he's ever had. And I think this whole virus is a terrible thing, but people have to be accountable for their own behaviors. And the businesses that are closing, the people that may be out of a job, they're suffering because of, in many ways, the lack of responsibility on behalf of some. So, and maybe the last part is the federal government really needs to get their act together and get a stimulus aid to these people ASAP. Our county executive came up with a great plan. He's put up to $20,000 in the hands of small businesses. Our feds have to do the same thing. Get both parties together. We have a new president coming in. We can't wait till January. Get it out now. These people need this money now.
Bob, what is the earliest date that we could move out of the orange zone back to yellow?
It's 2 weeks. That's 14 days for businesses in this zone. It's 14 days. So, you know, I think you're looking at right around December 9th, if you count starting tomorrow morning. That's the 14th day. Hopefully we can reverse it. Schools, on the other hand, and it's not by district, it's by building in the orange zone, they have to close 4 calendar days. So that's effective Thursday. In essence, with the testing protocols in place, those schools that are affected could reopen next Monday after the holiday and be open and not miss any class if those protocols that the governor's team has established are put in place.
Okay. And, you know, when you mentioned 2 weeks, that's right when we're going to learn whether there is a Thanksgiving surge in COVID cases. So, I mean, there's a lot that's going to be out of the hands of the business community if people sort of are ignoring the guidelines at home at the end of this week.
Evan, we're going to be in a fight throughout the end of November, all through December. You have all the holiday season right through New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And then figure 2 weeks after that, and we're not going to know in its entirety until then. But if we just follow the guidelines, and, you know, we all have families. I've had many Thanksgivings at my house. We've had two tables, kids. We have exactly 5 people. I have a 91-year-old father-in-law who is not going to leave his house, does not want to leave his house. So we're going to go and bring dinner to him. But there's no way we're going to flaunt this. And people that are thinking about, you know, maybe showing, you know, their own views that they disagree with this, and they'll have as many people over as they want. I think that is the worst thing to do because those actions may impact that hair salon, that barbershop, that restaurant, that gym and fitness center, people that have really killed themselves to open and open safely. We want them to get back open mm-hmm. as soon as possible.
I'll let you go after one more question here, which is this, Bob. You know, when we look at bars and restaurants, as everyone from Dr. Fauci on down have been warning us this year, if we see a fall surge, we're going to see massive closures or at least temporary shutdowns of indoor dining and indoor bars. That is not a surprise. That is something that I agree with you. The federal government should have been ready for. I mean, a dozen years ago, we bailed out banks that chopped up subprime mortgages and basically scammed the American public and then told everybody that they were too big to fail. And Washington said, okay, and we bailed out the banks. And then with the American auto industry, they got, I'm sorry to say, they didn't adapt to the changing times very quickly and got their butts kicked by companies around the world, and we bailed them out too. And now to tell bars and restaurants that you must close to save lives, but we're not going to help you, I will find that to be a stunning moral failure if the federal government does that. And it's almost too late already, but we'll see. But setting that aside, Bob, that is not the same as salons, as you've said, as schools. And so what I want to ask you to close is this. Is there a chance that you could convince the state, hey, if we don't move out of Orange, you can amend what is included in Orange, and maybe we'll change on salons, maybe we'll change on schools. I think bars and restaurants probably won't come out of it, but is there a chance the others could come out of Orange?
Well, Evan, I never can predict what the governor will say or do in making his decisions. I wouldn't try to do that. But what I can predict and what he has done so well is he listens. And we have the opportunity to give input to him and his team. He has a great team down there. There's a great pipeline of information. What we do and what I think sometimes people don't realize, we advocate daily for these things. And I always say, think of the mom and pop shop, the salon, the gym that people put their life savings into to start a business. And they went through the whole pandemic. Now they're coming out. They're just trying to catch up with the holiday season, which sometimes is their, busy season for revenue. And this happens. And it's devastating. I mean, it really is. So, we get both sides. And the governor is a good guy. He's a friend and a colleague. He listens. Will he change or make adjustments? I really can't speak to that because he also confers with an array of his experts.
But it's possible.
Well, you know what? Everything is going to be possible. And believe me, we will try. But the most important thing I would say, we can get that done if people listening and spread the word, wear a mask, stay 6 feet apart, follow the guidelines, disinfect, wash your hands, do those things. They're saying it for a reason. If we all do that, we're going to get out of this. And yes, we will keep advocating for these small businesses. And I agree 100%. It has been a moral failure that we do not have federal money coming down right now. This is not a political issue. People have to survive. And it's not just New York State. It's probably throughout the country where there's closures. City outside the country, Toronto is closed down totally, I understand. But we need to have that funding, and not in January or February. The holiday season is here. They need that money yesterday.
Bob, as always, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for making time for the program.
Thanks so much, Evan. You have a great array of guests on here. So happy Thanksgiving to you all. Thank you.
All right. That's Bob Duffy, Finger Lakes Reopening Advisor to Governor Cuomo. That was really the title earlier this spring. And he is the president and CEO of the Greater Rochester Chamber of Commerce. And I want to turn to our other guests. And Willie Lightfoot, you heard what Bob had to say about the current state of affairs with the state. And, maybe that there could be a door opening for salons, et cetera. But I'll just start by asking you, you work in government, but you also work in this sector. Is this a fair thing to be saying to salons, sorry, we're in Orange and you cannot open?
Thank you, Evan. And great question. Loaded question, of course, being on both sides. But as a business owner and as someone who survived the first shutdown and who has been talking extensively with the barbershops and salons by being the president of the United Professional Barbers and Cosmetologists Association, I can tell you that it is not fair. And when I say it's not fair, and I say that because, what we were told with the original first shutdown was that people were going to be monitoring the dials. And as they monitor them, they would have more of an ability to determine if we were heading towards a shutdown. Now, granted, it has been predicted from the very beginning that we would see an uptick around this time. But to be given like 72-hour notice as a business owner with no stimulus packet, with no conversation about unemployment, with no conversation about any relief for these business owners. Now, also, Evan, I want to be full disclosure, I'm on the race commission. And as the county executive and the mayor commissioned the race commission to look at barriers for, and I happen to be co-chairing the business development mm-hmm. portion of that particular piece. I just went on a tour on last Sunday, an in-person tour with my committee to the businesses, various NWBE businesses, black and brown businesses around, and women-owned businesses around our county. And they already are suffering, already with just trying to be in business. And many of them have not had any support, per se, from government. And then now to have this happen and be given less than 72 hours to shut down when we're really doing some of the most strenuous, tough protocols to come into our places of business. I'm doing contact tracing. I'm doing scheduling for customers. I'm doing temperature checks, as Bob Duffy was talking about before in his experience in getting his haircut. We're doing all of those things. Myself and my barbers are being tested on a regular basis. We have had no positive testing since we've been reopened in my place of business, but now I have to shut down again. And this time I have nothing to say to this industry. Where do you go? What do you do? What is available for you? And it's devastating, especially during the holiday season.
How many barbershops, how many salons could permanently close as a result of this, Willie?
We're talking hundreds, Evan, at least. Hundreds.
Wow. And right now, is there a sense that is inevitable now? I mean, is there anything that could prevent maybe permanent closure, Willie?
Not that I'm hearing. We received, and wearing my other hat on city council, it's on YouTube. We received a briefing from the mayor and her administration on yesterday, all of council. And what we were told was that majority of Rochester is going to be in orange. And if you're in orange, non-essential places of business, as you refer to, which would include barbershops, nail salons, appearance enhancement industry, professionals will have to close their doors by Wednesday, which is tomorrow.
When you say it's devastating, Willie, and you feel like it's unfair, I mean, who do you blame for this?
You know, I'm never one to try to do the blame game, Evan, but we have to follow the facts here. And the fact of the matter is the federal government has not taken a preventive measures on COVID-19. That's a fact. Okay. They have politicized masks. This is one of the few countries that have politicized masks. It should not be a political point. Masks should be mandatory. And they have not provided a clear plan for dealing with this virus. And as a result of that, we find ourselves back up against the wall when it's been predicted exactly what's going to happen in this country. We're seeing what's happening in this country, and we're not prepared. That, to me, is a derelict of duty from the federal government, in my opinion, from the administration, from the president down, and it's unacceptable.
Well, let me talk to the supervisors and listeners. If you've got questions or comments for the program with our guests today, whether you work in salon industry, restaurants, et cetera, whether you've got questions about schools or designations, you can call the program. It's 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free, 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. You can email us, connections@WXXI.org. Bill Maley, as a supervisor of the town of Brighton, let me start with you on sort of the understanding the town business here. This is a very specific map. The orange designation is street by street, and you know, and as we've covered at WXXI, there are stretches and corridors where a sub shop in one location will be open, and 100 yards down the street, a sub shop can't be open inside. I mean, there's a lot of that, and I understand you've got to draw boundaries somewhat, but does this make sense to you? Is it logical what you've seen, Bill?
Well, you started by asking the lieutenant governor, was he surprised? And I was surprised, because the data, and I think it's really important. We've talked, and it's very real. We've got to follow the data. We've got to follow the science. What we've seen, are some numbers actually coming back down certainly at least here in Brighton. And we saw just last week tremendous school data, and the Brighton schools were not alone, but there's no cases of in-school transmission. We heard the governor kick off his press conference yesterday by saying that K-8 should still be in school. So in that sense, I'm surprised, but it is, you know, I'll give you a great example. The JCC, a tremendous community asset. Actually, the building that the JCC occupies straddles the town line between the town of Brighton and the town of Henrietta. So when you walk in the front door, you're in the town of Brighton, but if you go back to a different part of the building, you're in the town of Henrietta. So, you know, that's an example of a situation where this line drawing really becomes acute. Brighton's business corridor, Monroe Avenue, we're not a big box town. We don't have big corporate interests behind our businesses. We have a lot of businesses like the kind that Willie was talking about, a lot of salons doing a variety of personal services, family restaurants. We don't have chains on Monroe Avenue or West Henrietta Road, our other main commercial corridor. So it is hitting home particularly acutely, and the inaction, the failure of Washington, they haven't made the pandemic a federal issue, and in fact, they've cut people off at the kneecaps when they've tried to, and they haven't reacted by providing any kind of relief for these businesses. They've been arguing for months about this latest package, and I do hope that as things change in Washington, hopefully we're seeing it right now. You know, we finally saw an admission 2 weeks after the election result as to who won, at least by one branch of government. That gives me some hope that other branches of government will recognize they need to act, and they need to act now.
Jeez, Bill, I would love to believe that anybody believes they have to act now. But do you, I mean, and if listeners detect frustration or anger in my voice, this should not surprise us. We've known all summer that this fall surge could be coming and that this fate could be awaiting small businesses. And we're going to end up with all chains and a lot of people out of work and dreams dashed. And we've got Washington just still sitting around. I mean, it's just...
Can't argue with a word of that, Evan.
I'm really sorry. But on the state level...
It didn't need to happen the way it's happening.
But on the state level, there still have to be questions about what is being closed and why. And if you had the governor's ear today, you know, if he called you after this program and says, all right, Bill, you got 5 minutes, convince me, you would say, this works and this doesn't. What works, what doesn't? Bill?
Well, clearly we know that schools, which are the quintessential, essential service, what they've been doing has been working. We've got great data from the schools. So the first thing I would ask the governor is to reconsider the decision on how you're treating schools in the orange zone. I think that's the most important thing. But I also do think, and we've heard the data showing that other types of activities are what are really causing the spread. In Brighton, we had to close down our lodges a couple weeks ago. Frankly, we had a couple people rent lodges, flaunt those rules. They failed to follow the rules. We took aggressive action and closed those lodges down. I think we've seen so many businesses work so hard to do the right thing. And in a town like Brighton, it is very difficult when small business after small business closes, hopefully for a very short temporary period. But we've seen those businesses try to do the right thing, and we need to support them. But first and foremost, the data is not there, in my opinion, to justify shutting the schools down.
Okay, there's a start. And as for the rest of the businesses, you've been hearing our guests. I'll ask Dave Seeley in a moment from Arondecoit for his thoughts. But maybe this entire community can take it on ourselves to say, you know what a great Christmas gift would be, or a Hanukkah gift, or an end-of-the-year gift would be to our businesses to get them back open? And you heard Bob Duffy say it. We could do it in 2 weeks. We could do it in 2 weeks. Go ahead, Bill.
And that's right. And what's going to happen over these holidays, you know, back in March and April, we in government, a lot of businesses transformed. We went remote. We went remote because we had to. It wasn't ideal, but we were able to continue operating. We know we would love to gather with family and friends and fly in and drive in for Thanksgiving, for Hanukkah, for Christmas, Kwanzaa this year. But we did it remotely for businesses, and I'm begging people, do it for the holidays. If you have to put a laptop on your Thanksgiving table this year so you can have your friends, your grandchildren, your children with you, do it. Please don't bring people in from other households. Have big Thanksgiving dinners. The chances are somebody will regret it.
Well, but on that point, Bill, I mean, we have to be also blunt about the fact that Americans have been, I think a lot of people have been trying really hard this year. Then you see Gavin Newsom go out to dinner at the French Laundry in California and say, well, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Well, no kidding. I mean, every time that happens, it's ammunition for people to say, the government says good for thee, but not for me. And I hope that everybody sending these messages today, myself included, are going to be following this. And I suspect you will, Bill.
My wife and I are going to be two people. We're having a dinner made by actually a local Brighton caterer.
That's very cool.
Of course, we'll be Zooming with kids and grandkids. That's Thanksgiving. That's Christmas at our house this year. Mm.
Dave Seeley, does the boundary line that you've seen drawn for the Orange Zone make sense to you? And what's your message for the governor?
You know, I remember back when we had the initial shutdown and there was a lot of feedback that having this blunt instrument and this broad stroke wasn't fair. And I think as we've gone through these clusters, what the governor's tried to do is not have those broader strokes. So you're shutting down an entire county or an entire region, but trying to look a little bit more tactfully. As a result, you know, I think these were largely done using zip codes as a compass, not completely aligned with the zip codes, but that seems to be what was used. And unfortunately, zip codes don't always align with the most ideal natural boundaries that your economic activity might be aligned with. So if you look at East Ridge Road in Irondequoit, our primary commercial corridor, you have a situation now which, because of how the lines were drawn, you have some salons and barbershops that are open and nearby some that are unfortunately going to have to close tomorrow. And look, I get it, and you can't go through every block of the state and discern what makes the most sense. We obviously provide feedback as local elected officials and try to reason with them is the best way to do this. There is no perfect way to do this. So I understand that is frustrating and leads to some randomness of how this appears. And we're dealing with it in Irondequoit. And, you know, it's tough having a answering the phone with one hairstylist and saying, no, you can stay open. And then 5 minutes later, telling someone, no, you're in the orange list. And that's the reality of all this. And that's why it's just very unfortunate we're in this situation, despite all the warnings we had several months ago. So it's frustrating in that regard. And I say for the community response that's angry to all this, I'm angry too. And I think we should be angry and we should have resolve to try and get this right and bend the curve and lower the curve and have it going in the other way. We've done it once before. And if we really care about our students being able to stay in school, if we care about our small businesses, and the new adage, I think, is it's not too big to fail. It's too small to fail. We can't have these small businesses disappearing throughout our community. They really are the backbone of communities like Irondequoit and Brighton and the city of Rochester. But if we really care about them, we need to take responsible action. And that's not always pleasant. And this is nothing new that I'm preaching here, but it really does take a community effort if we are going to get back to the levels where the state has deemed it appropriate and from a public health standpoint for these businesses to reopen.
Dave, I will admit that for months I cut my own hair in front of the mirror. And I am not very good at it, but I don't have a whole lot of hair, so I can get away with it. And then this summer I went to a salon and I felt good. I was surprised at how comfortable it felt. Does that closure make sense to you?
Well, I'm in the same boat as you. My haircut takes about 4 minutes.
Yeah.
So I'm not really in there a while, but it's challenging. These businesses worked very hard. They waited and they reopened, and I think they felt they did the right thing. And we have a lot of them in around Iqoqit. They're small businesses, and they've worked hard. They've established a customer base, and I think they were just getting back to a point where they were comfortable and functioning. And you just feel for them to have this rug pulled out from under their feet. Thankfully, in around Iqoqit, we have some CARES Act dollars that we kept, knowing this was forthcoming. We're going to be able to provide some business assistant grants to those businesses that are lit up in orange on the spreadsheet on my computer. My hope is that list doesn't expand to other parts of town, but hopefully we'll be able to give some economic assistance to these businesses just to get them through what I hope is just a matter of a few weeks, but that really, you know, that's on all of us to see how long we're going to be with this reality.
Well, if you're on the phone, Brian in Rochester, we're after our only break of the hour here. We're going to start with you. We've got some phone calls. Brian's got a question for Willie Lightfoot after our only break. And listeners, we'll take some more of your emails and questions and comments for Supervisors Seeley and Maley from the towns of Irondequoit and Brighton. Willie Lightfoot is with us, not only the Vice President of Rochester City Council, but the President of the United Professional Barbers and Cosmetologists Association. As we talk about the Orange Zone designation, what that means for businesses, schools, and more, and how maybe we get out of it soon enough. We're right back on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, so you say you want to get rid of the Electoral College. We're talking about the origins of the Electoral College and why so many Americans want it gone. A significant majority of Americans want to get rid of the Electoral College. Talk about why it came into existence in the first place, arguments for and against, and take your feedback as well as we talk about the EC next hour. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. This is Brian in Rochester on the phone first. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey.
Ooh, rough connection. Where are you? Go ahead, Brian. Try it again.
I'm 96 in Victor. Hold on.
Okay.
All right.
Go ahead.
All right. Hold up. So thanks, everyone, for being here and helping us all through this. So I'm a barber. Most of my clientele are people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Which is always a challenge to get them into the shop as it is. Is this a point, Councilmember Lightfoot, where we could maybe petition the state about doing in-home personal care, either during this or through it? Other states do it. It's not a big deal. This, I think, would really help some of the independent barbers, even some of the barbers and stylists that have the ability to go out. Does that make any sense? It's just, I think we're all just grasping at straws right now in the beauty industry as to, what are we going to do if this stays or we go back to red over here and we're all going to run out of money in, you know, 3 weeks? So I think that was my question.
Very good question. I understand and I agree. A lot of individuals are grasping for straws here. I don't know if that's necessarily a idea that would warrant as far as the safety, because, you know, we look at if you're doing in-person, then of course you're going to wherever facility you're going to cut that hair. For years I cut hair at the Rochester Psychiatric Center. And so, you know, I would go in there and they already had, you know, I had a lot of people that had disability type issues that I would go into. This was before COVID, and it was already a strenuous process trying to get in there even without COVID. Now with COVID, I think the issue becomes where you're going, especially like these nursing homes, individual places like that, where there's large amount of people living in the same area, that's where they're so afraid of us spreading the particular virus to the individual. So we could be tested and we know we don't have it, but are we going into these individual spaces and are they tested? You know, so it just becomes an issue. And that's really my fear of them closing the facilities, because I know a lot of barbers are going to do that without the approval. They're going to go and they're going to cut hair out of their homes, which now they're potentially bringing all this unsafe conditions within their homes, or they're going to go out and do in-person out services wherever they can, because they, at the end of the day, 2 weeks may not mean a lot to some people, but 2 weeks is, some people are a paycheck away from losing their home, a paycheck away from losing their car, a paycheck away, you know, from losing their business. So 2 weeks is a long time for individuals when they've already spent months trying to catch up, especially individuals who did not receive PPP or any other grants or assistance, did not qualify for whatever reasons. And a lot of these zip codes, the underserved zip codes that you see also happen to also be in the orange zone, a lot of those businesses did not receive any assistance or grants from anybody. You know, and that, I find that ironic that the same zip codes are the ones seem like who are constantly being you know, impeded upon as far as them being able to be successful in their businesses. But at the same time, those are the ones who are not receiving the help. So I would caution that only to the sense of being safe. And we know people are going to do that. Unfortunately, they're going to force people to do that anyway, you know, and because I know a lot of people who were freelancing that way in the first shutdown. That's how they made it through, you know. Yep. So there has to be some type of relief like they did last time, where they allowed people in the appearance enhancement industry, I think for the first time, to receive unemployment and the additional $600, which that really helps sustain people during that time. We have to have that type of relief so people aren't forced to go out and make themselves or their families and put them in an unsafe situation.
I agree. All right. Well, hey, thanks. I appreciate you guys taking the time to talk to me.
Brian, good luck to you. Yeah, good luck to you, Brian. I appreciate the phone call there. This is next up. This is Jane in Rochester. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Evan. How you doing?
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
I was just thinking if and when we get money, and I think we will, it's just not going to be immediate. We still got the problem of cooperation from people wearing their masks and so forth. And so that really, it really ticks me off and that happens. And if you go in a store, which I have done this, the manager doesn't even have the mask on. So they're not modeling it or requiring it. So I would like someone, now it's mandated now. What does that mean exactly? It's mandated, the mask and so forth.
What is it? So what's the question?
Cuomo said that it would be mandated that you wear the mask and so forth, didn't he?
Yes, in the same way that he has this a mandate on gathering numbers, yes.
Right. Okay, so what's the consequence?
Well, I mean, I'll let the supervisors and Willie Lightfoot address that, but I'll just tell you, Jane, I mean, here's an email I just got from a listener named Robert who says, if law enforcement would come down on large gatherings and the non-maskers like they do on drunk drivers, we'd be on our way to a solution. Enforcement works.
Right.
But I also don't know, Jane, how, I mean, do you want, I'm not trying to be flip, I'm asking, do you want Todd Baxter sending deputies to kind of knock on doors if there's five cars in the driveway and then count heads? I mean, I just don't see it happening, and I'm not sure that would be a wise idea anyway. Do you?
Well, how many more caskets can you put up with?
No, I mean, I hear that. I hear that. I don't.
Evan, can I give a little overview?
Yeah, please.
Of how we've done this.
Excuse me.
Go ahead, Jane.
I just wanted feedback. What are the ideas that we have to choose from? Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's a very fair question. Go ahead, Supervisor Seeley.
Excuse me, Ms. Fair, I didn't mean to interrupt. You know, every day we get a list of complaints that are filed through a centralized hotline that people call if they perceive people to be violating the New York pause reopening guidelines, mainly with regards to wearing masks, social distancing. Those are primarily in business establishments. So what we do in Irondequoit is we will send out our code enforcement to first we will monitor the business and see if there are, in fact, viewed violations. We will then, regardless, send a notification saying that somebody had called the hotline. If we do see a violation, we will go through our normal code enforcement process. And, you know, the understanding is we haven't been going out proactively and driving around town to perceive, to observe violations, that would be impossible. But what we have been doing is, where there are known violations, we have been informing the consequences. In this case, it can be a civil fine that the business owner would have to pay. And unfortunately, we have had to do that with several businesses in Irondequoit where there have been repeated violations observed. It's hard to do that throughout a town of 52,000 people, but the local governments are the ones that are tasked with enforcing these measures.
And we're in a similar situation here in Brighton. I've actually been very pleased as I read that daily list that we get at just how few complaints there have been against Brighton businesses. But if it happens, we do try to reach out to them, make them aware that someone, and it's generally anonymous, has observed a problem. You know, I talked about our lodges. We did have a situation where, in fact, two of them that led to closing those lodges, where our park staff identified that crowds were much too large. Our staff tried to, you know, encourage people to leave, but ultimately only law enforcement, you know, was able to do it. And we did have to send in police, and they did successfully encourage the folks to leave. It's a last resort. We want to educate. We want to get down to zero complaints. I think people have really been doing very well here in Brighton, and in most places in the county where I go. But I just can't stress it enough. Masking, distancing, those are the things that if we do it faithfully, and I know there's a lot of eyes rolling out there because not everybody is, but if we do, if we take it upon ourselves to protect ourselves, the people around us, and our business, you know, these are our friends and neighbors that own these businesses. They're trying. We've got to try so that we can help them reopen.
Yeah. Willie Lightfoot, what do you think?
Yeah, Evan, she brings up a very good, valid point. I mean, the fact of the matter is, I think originally in this, as far as the city is concerned, we took a more educational approach, which was mentioned before. And so we've been trying to more so educate folks around it. But we've seen that hasn't been really effective. And in the city, it's even taken a different situation as far as these gatherings, because we're finding that our crime and our violence and all of that is up even more as a result. And our homicides, many of them have been a result of these gatherings, these unsanctioned gatherings that have happened. And we need people to kind of step up a little bit, the community that is, just to talk and tell about these things so we can do more enforcement. And I think the approach in the past has been education, but I agree with the caller that we do need to have a different conversation about what does it look like to have better enforcement. And I'll tell you what, we've been having conversations with other cities. I was on the phone with Mayor Baraka from Newark, New Jersey, with our mayor just last week, and we were asking their best practices, how they're handling their enforcement piece. And they're doing more with clergy. They're doing more with community leaders to help to go out and do the, you know, dispersing people, educate and talk to people, as opposed to just, you know, ticketing folks and trying to take people to jail, because, you know, bail reform also compounds that and makes that a little more challenging. But I agree, we have to move the conversation a little more to how do we have enforcement, education, enforcement, and use our community partners to help us deter these large gatherings and what comes as a result of these large gatherings.
Let me read some more feedback from listeners. Alex says, we are just not good at making sacrifices. I think that's largely true, Alex. I mean, I think a lot of people have sacrificed a lot, but I take the larger point here. When I see protests and demonstrations about wearing a mask when you're around other people, I take the point, Alex. Isaac says, Evan, as a small self-employed therapist and on behalf of many small business friends that I support, I'm livid toward anyone who has not done their part and has contributed to the spike in cases. This just is not fair. Dave says, Bill Maley absolutely models the behavior he encourages. It was his mask wearing this past spring, even outside walking the trail near his house, that helped normalize it for me.
So thank you.
So it matters.
Thank you, Dave.
That's from Dave. And then let me get a question from a listener who asked to remain anonymous, and I'll ask all of you to weigh in as we get toward the end of the hour here. The listener asked the following, quote, "Many of my coworkers are sharing Thanksgiving dinner with family and friends from multiple households. I think that the state's restrictions on gatherings should have been for the number of households, not the number of people. Other than wearing a mask, staying 6 feet away from my coworkers, and washing my hands frequently, what can I do to stay healthy after my coworkers return from these multiple household Thanksgiving gatherings? My workplace does not have any HEPA filtration, nor are we limiting the percentage of staff members on site. Many of my coworkers remove their masks when they are at their desks. I'm very concerned about my increased risk of getting COVID myself in the coming weeks after Thanksgiving. I don't want to pass it on to family members who are even more susceptible. Thank you. Please keep this anonymous." I'll start with Bill Maley. Any thoughts for that listener, Bill?
Boy, I feel exactly where she's coming from, because that is a real tough situation when you know you're working with people who, because let's face it, if they haven't followed best practices on this occasion, we can expect that on other occasions they're not following best practices. If you've got someone, if there's an HR person in your office, or if there is someone else, an owner or a manager that you can talk with, I would absolutely encourage you to share your concerns. And that's just a situation no employee should find themselves in.
Dave Seeley?
Bill did a nice job answering that. I'll just say, if you are going to get together for Thanksgiving and mix households, for God's sakes, wear a mask, you know, eat in separate parts of the house, keep the windows open, try to be outside, try to have some of these mitigations of risk. You know, my parents live in town. I have a one-year-old nephew. Do I still like to see them? Of course. When I'm watching the Bills game with my dad last week, am I having to lower my mask to take a sip of beer? Yeah, because I care about his health. I care about my family's health. Am I yelling at the top of my lungs so he can hear me because we're on other sides of the house? Yes. But, you know, if you want to have that socialization and still feel connected to people, if you're going to do that, you can make the small sacrifice of taking every possible action to mitigate that risk. So I discourage people from getting together for Thanksgiving, but for God's sakes, if you are, please be considerate and try and at least mitigate some of that risk by wearing a mask, staying separate. I know that's easier said than done, but you know, if you want to enjoy people's company, I think that's a sacrifice that's worthwhile.
Anything you want to add, Willie Lightfoot?
I think what both have said is absolutely I agree with. I would also add for consideration to the caller, when you talk, definitely talk to the supervisor, the HR person, because should be training. This is a training opportunity. It's a training opportunity for your workplace. So if this is happening, clearly there's some gaps in training. This is very serious. It should be taken very serious. Continue to do what she's been doing, wearing your mask, washing your hands. But I will also extend to get tested. Go and get yourself tested. The rapid test at Walgreens are quick. They're fast. They're not as uncomfortable as the drive-through ones that you can do yourself. And that gives you another sense of confidence that you're not bringing something home to your family. And then I would say myself personally, I'm planning on having Thanksgiving with a very, very small, less than five people at my home. And I'm staggering them out throughout the day. Everyone's not coming at the same time, and everyone's going to be temperature checked just like we do in the barbershop. This is what's going to be happening at my home. You're going to get hand sanitized at the door. You're going to get temperature checked at the door. You're going to have a mask handed to you at the door, and you will have that on the entire time unless you're eating. And when you're eating, we're 6 feet apart. That two or three groups, you know, my son and his girlfriend will leave, and then another, you know, give us a chance to clean up a little bit. Then we'll have our other daughter and her friend over, and you know, and that's how it's going to go. And it's going to be very, very as safe as we possibly can make it, because again, we want to be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem.
And last one in 20 seconds or less, Bill Maley, Kay just asked clarification. Are people supposed to be wearing masks outdoors? I see a lot of people here in Brighton who are not masked outside.
Well, I think in general, if there is no one else near you, Yes, you can take your mask off, but outdoors is, although it's safer, it's not 100% safe. If you're in proximity to other people, wear a mask, even outdoors.
Supervisor Maley, thank you for making time for us, and I know there's going to be continued questions. We'll be back in touch with you, and it's a great service to listeners. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Evan.
And happy Thanksgiving, Bill, by the way.
And to you, and to you.
Supervisor Seeley, same. Thanks for making time for the program, as you always do. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Same to you and your listeners, Evan. And thank you to Bill and Willie Joe as well.
Yeah, Willie Lightfoot, the president of the United Professional Barbers and Cosmetologists Association, vice president of Rochester City Council, with a very good plan for Thanksgiving. Hope it's a great one. Happy Thanksgiving, sir. Thank you, Willie.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, your listeners, and everyone else.
Got more connections coming up.